News is being made these days, some significant, some tragic, and some unnecessary. Whether it's the president-elect's cabinet nominees, the tragic happenings in Syria, or some comment by another Hollywood star, news is being made these days. And as we enter a new year, we may feel a little uneasy about what news is going to be made in 2017. You know, we know the divisions that exist in our country. We hear the volatile characters around the world, Russia, China, Iran. We feel the anxiety of the American population over an untrustworthy economy. So it's natural that we would kind of be uneasy about what news is going to come out this year. Well, this morning, I want to share with you the most important news we'll hear this year. No matter what happens after Donald Trump becomes president, no matter what happens in international relations, even no matter if news comes that the Patriots win another Super Bowl, I want to share with you the most important news that we'll hear this year. I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but our Christian faith is based on news. You know, in the scripture that Joe read earlier, or we read responsively, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church about the gospel, the good news of the gospel, the news of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, this is the most important news that we'll hear this year. Now, you and I may say, come on, the gospel isn't, I was thinking something more important. You know, if you or I have that response, we have to hear the gospel again. See, the gospel, this news, is the heart of our Christian life. See, the gospel is news that we receive. The gospel is news that saves us. And the gospel is news to which we must hold fast. The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important news we'll hear this year. For it's the heart of our Christian life. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to be focusing in on just the first couple of verses. But in this chapter, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and trying to stress to them, remind them that the gospel, this news of Jesus Christ, is the heart of the Christian life. So we want to hear that this morning as well. He begins the chapter by stressing this, reminding them of the importance, reminding them of the content of this news. So we read in 15:1, the apostle says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel which I preached to you, which you received." So this gospel that the Corinthians heard from Paul, do you see that? They received it. It was a message they received. The gospel is news which we receive. Not only the Corinthians received it, if you look down in verse 3, the apostle received it as well. It says in verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance, which I also received." The gospel is news which we receive. See, the gospel is news which we receive because the gospel is news of an event. If you go down in verses 3 through 8, you see that Paul records and lists these different events. Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. He appeared. See, these events that he lists here make up the event of the gospel. The news of the gospel is news of an event. If you notice here, he lists these different events that make up the event of the gospel. He adds a very important refrain here. You see that in verse 3 and 4. He says, Christ died according to the scriptures. Christ was raised according to the scriptures. You see, this event of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ didn't come out of nowhere. No, God had been working throughout history to bring about this event. You can see this throughout Scripture, that God's working toward this event. For example, we can go back all the way to the very beginning of the Bible. Go back to Genesis 3:15. This is right after the fall, right after Adam and Eve had sinned against God. And God speaks a promise. Genesis 3:15. God promises this. That's kind of cryptic language, but we'll try to work through it here. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Again, it's like cryptic language, but God is actually speaking this promise to the serpent. And what he's saying is that one day a Savior is going to come. One day a Savior is going to come. And yes, you will bruise his heel. He will die. But in so doing, he's going to crush your head. And so it's to this event to which this promise looks forward to that the apostle is reminding the Corinthian church. He's reminding them, saying, you've received this news of the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the gospel is news that we receive. It's news of an event. The implication of that is that the gospel is news which has happened outside of us. The gospel is news which has happened outside of us. Now, as Christians, it's important to think about because as Christians, we often think about what has happened inside of us, and rightfully so. We think about how we are born again, receive a new heart, receive eyes and ears to perceive spiritual truth. And all these things happen inside of us. It's important. These are glorious things. However, we must realize that all these things that happen inside of us are not the gospel. The gospel has happened outside of us 2,000 years ago. Now, our transformation inside is a consequence of the gospel, but it's not the gospel itself. Let me try to explain why this distinction. Excuse me. Is so important. First, as we go to witness today in our culture, often when we're talking to people, we will share what God has done in our lives, you know, what he has transformed us. And this is great. However, it's good until we meet someone in our pluralistic culture that holds a different belief system or a different faith who's experienced a similar transformation, or their lives have been turned around some way, and they're like, oh, I've had a similar experience. So what do we do then? See, many things can cause people's lives to be turned around, but there's been only one person in history that's been raised from the dead. So the truth of the gospel is not based on the inner transformation or our lives being turned around, what's happened inside us. The truth of the gospel isn't necessarily based on that. It's based on what's happened outside of us in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where it's founded upon. Now, this is not to say that our personal testimony isn't important. It is. But we have to just realize that it's secondary to what Christ has accomplished, this event. Another important distinction would be in the Christian life, often there are times, perhaps you're there this morning, where you don't feel God. The reality of God, it doesn't correspond to what you feel inside. And it is during these times, it is a great comfort to realize that the hope we have in the gospel is not based upon what is or isn't happening inside of us. You see, the truth of the gospel isn't true whether our faith is full or our faith is flat. The truth of the gospel is based upon what Christ did, his death, his burial and resurrection, and not on what is or isn't happening inside of us. This is a great comfort. This is a great comfort. And one final implication of this exterior nature of the gospel is that for a Christian community, what it takes for one to become a Christian, grow as a Christian, to persevere as a Christian, is not found inside of us. The Corinthian church, they received this news from the Apostle Paul, from outside of them. And similar to us, we receive it from outside of us. We have become a Christian. We have grown as a Christian. We persevere as a Christian by others ministering to us from outside of us. You know, we hear the gospel from others. We see the gospel lived out. And in so doing, we feel the gospel inside. See, the gospel must be heard and seen outside of us to be truly felt inside of us. This does not motivate us toward Christian community. I don't know what will. So the gospel is news that we receive. It's an event happened outside of us. It's news that we receive, but also it's news that saves us. The gospel is news that saves us. Let's look back at 1 Corinthians 15. At the end of verse 1 and into verse 2, the Apostle Paul says this: "So this news you've received, in which you stand, in which you are being saved." The gospel is news that saves us. We get a hint of this. If you look down in verse 3, the Apostle says, "Christ died for our sins." So this event that we've received that's happened outside of us, this event, namely Christ's death, concerns us. It's for our sins. Christ died for our sins. He says, it's this news in which you stand. In which you stand. What does that mean, in which you stand? To begin to understand what he's getting at, we have to understand that as sinners, as people who have rebelled against the rightful rule of God, we cannot stand before God. Like a convicted criminal might shy away from coming before the judge, or rebellious children might hide from the presence of their parents. We can't come before God. We can't stand before him. We can't do it. There's a passage back in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 130, verse 3, that says this: "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" Implying, God, you do in fact mark iniquities, and that no one can stand before you. No one can stand before God. You see, our God is a righteous God. And what that means is that God always does the right thing. He always does the right thing. If a judge today, if someone was brought before him who had confessed to committing a murder, and the judge just let him off, that judge would not be doing the right thing. He'd be doing the wrong thing. He wouldn't be doing the right thing. See, our God always does the right thing. But an implication of this is that as those, you and I, who have done sin, have done wrong things, God always doing the right thing, He counts us guilty. He will require, there will be consequences to what we've done because He always does the right thing. We're liable before God, and therefore we cannot stand before Him. But this is the great news that Paul is sharing. He's saying, this news that you've received, this news that's an event that's happened outside you, it's by this news in which you stand, that you are enabled to stand before God. The reason this is true is because it was through the event of this to which this news that we have received. It's this news that God has provided for us righteousness. So this event that has occurred, that we receive news of, it's this event that has provided righteousness for us. A righteousness, one way you can think about it, is a right standing. It's through this event that God has provided a right standing for us. I want us to take a look for a bit and go to the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 21. And this is a pretty packed passage, and we're not going to talk about everything at all. But I just want us to see this link between this event that has occurred in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and God providing for us righteousness, right standing before Him. So this is, Romans 3:21. It says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified." Justified is it's a really important, awesome word, meaning to be made righteous, to be given right standing. So you could say, are given right standing by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? So it was through this, the redemption of Christ, through the event, His death, His burial and resurrection, that we are given a gift. We are given the gift of right standing before God. If you hop over just to chapter 5 in Romans, in verses 1 and 2, it says this. This is, "Therefore, since we have been justified," again, given right standing, "by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand." In which we stand. So it's in the grace of God that we stand. See, God has given us a gracious gift. That gracious gift is right standing before Him. And this gift has been brought about by the event of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to which we, this is the news to which we have received, of this event. So we can begin to grasp that this is why the gospel is the most important news that we'll hear this year, because it's through this news. This news is of an event that has provided us with the ability to stand before God, to relate to God, the most important thing in our lives this year and every year is to relate to God. And it's through this, God has come to us and say, your biggest problem that you are, whether you know it or not, I am bringing you news and telling you I've done something to solve your biggest problem. Hear this news. Hear this news. To go back to 1 Corinthians real quick, 15, there was one commentator that highlighted the fact that Paul here in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2 highlights that it's this news that is central to all of salvation. Follow with me. He talks about how it's they received it. We receive it, past. We've received it. We stand present. And we are being saved. We are our saved future. So it's this news that we have been saved by, we are saved by, and we are going to be saved by. See, this news is the heart of our Christian life. It's the heart of our Christian life. So we've seen that this news is news we receive. And it's news that saves us. Now we want to see, lastly, that it's news to which we must hold fast. The gospel is news to which we must hold fast. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, the apostle finishes out verse 2 by saying, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So this news that we've received that saves us, we are called to hold fast to. Otherwise, our faith will be for nothing. Do you see that? He says, unless you believed in vain. So the gospel is news to which we must hold fast. But that begs the question, what does exactly mean to hold fast to the gospel? What does that mean? I think to begin with, we can ask, what does it mean not to hold fast to the gospel? What does it mean not to hold fast to the gospel? I think the first way we cannot hold fast to the gospel is by denying the truth of the message. Denying the content of the gospel, the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To use a contemporary term, to label the gospel as fake news. See, in Corinth, this is what was happening to some of them. If you look down in chapter 15, verse 12, Paul says this. He says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? See, some of them were denying the resurrection of the dead, and Paul goes on to share that by implication, they were denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were denying the truth of the news. In so doing, we're not holding fast to it. Paul goes on in verse 13 and 14 to explain the ramifications of this. He says, but if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. So we do not confess the truth of this news, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our faith will amount to nothing. Amount to nothing. So therefore, we hold fast by confessing the truth that Christ has died. He was buried, and he is risen. However, we not only hold fast by confessing the truth of the news with our mouth, we also affirm it, hold fast to it by living lives that are in accordance with this news. You see, this news that we have received, this news that saves us, is to make a definite difference in the way we live our lives. Paul says as much if you look down, beginning in verse 30 of chapter 15. Paul says, "Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Paul's saying here that if this news isn't true, then you should be living very differently. You should be living very differently. But he's saying it is true, therefore, it is to make the defining difference in our life. We are to live differently. This week, if you woke up in the morning, and whether on the TV or on the radio, learned that there was a surprise snowstorm overnight, but you went outside, you in your shorts and t-shirt. This is not to say some people don't do that, but if you did that, it would be strange. You wouldn't be living in accordance with the news that you had received. It'd be strange. Paul is saying to us today, we've received this news of the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if we go and we live lives that are eat and drink and be merry, that's strange. That's strange. So we are called by this news to hold fast to this news. That means we confess the truth of it that is true. The gospel is true news, and to live lives that are according to it. So this, the gospel, is news. It's news to which we have received. We've received it. It's news that saves us. God is, through the news of this event, we've received right standing with God. It's news to which we must hold fast. We are to confess it with our mouths. We are to live according to it. The heart of our Christian life is the news of the gospel. You know, today we are bombarded with news. Whether on the television, the radio, on your phone, the news cycle today is constant. And certainly news will be made this year. With an incoming president, news will be made nationally. With the fight in terrorism, surely news will be made internationally. And news will most likely be made locally, right here with us, perhaps with a new senior pastor. News will be made. But as important as all these news stories will be, let us remember the most important news that we'll hear this year is the news of the gospel. The news of the reality of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us receive this news that has happened apart from us, but nevertheless concerns us. It was for our sins. God has given us right standing through it. And let us live lives confessing with our mouth and living with our lives, holding fast to this news, because this is the most important news that we'll hear. For this news is the heart of our Christian life. Let's pray. Father God, we come in your Son, and we thank you for this news, this glorious news. And Lord, we hear it, and so sometimes it seems almost like old news. But Lord, help us to realize the ramifications of this news, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd work in us to shine your light in us, that, Lord Jesus, that we might see you, what you've done, and be satisfied, that, Father, we may be reminded of your love and have no fear, and that, Lord, we may embrace this glorious news of your gospel. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.